I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been doing a series of sermons based on the book of Proverbs. And I don't know how many sermons we have done so far. We have covered a wide variety of topics. And today we have come to this topic regarding family. I should have entitled today's message as Wisdom Regarding Parenting. Because this is my message will be focusing on parenting rather than family as a whole. And next week, God willing, I will be talking about wisdom regarding marriage, particularly on selecting a spouse. So let me begin by saying that I'm not an expert in parenting, and in no way it is pretty obvious I'm a perfect parent, and I have much to learn, and I don't think that I will finish learning how to be a good parent before I die. Christian parenting can be challenging, as the most of you know, just like any form of parenting. As a Christian parent, we are not only responsible for the physical and emotional well-being of our children, but also for their spiritual growth and development. We may face challenges such as helping our children understand and embrace biblical values, teaching them how to navigate a secular culture that may be at odds, and most of the time it is at odds with biblical values, and instilling in them a deep and genuine faith in God. It is important to remember that no parent is perfect, of course, as I mentioned, myself included, and every family faces its own unique set of challenges. But as a Christian parent, you can take comfort in the fact that you are not alone. And there are many resources available to help you in your journey besides the Bible. We have parenting guides, books written by many Christian educators and authors. Now, over the years, I have found a book written by Dr. Ted Tripp. Many of you know him, maybe even personally. I found his book very helpful. We have used it for our parenting seminars a few years back. Dr. Ted Tripp is a Christian author, educator, speaker, and pastor, who has written several books on parenting and family life, including Shepherding a Child's Heart. And some of you may have a copy of the book. And Instructing a Child's Heart. But Dr. Ted Tripp does not just author these books from the perspective of experienced author, educator, and speaker. His books are deeply rooted in biblical principles, especially from the book of Proverbs. In fact, Dr. Tripp has written and spoken extensively on the book of Proverbs over the years. He believes, and I agree with him 100% on this, that Proverbs provides valuable wisdom for daily living, and that it is particularly relevant for parents as they seek to raise their children in godly way. One of the key themes that Dr. Tripp emphasizes in his teaching on Proverbs is the idea of wisdom. He believes that wisdom is not just about knowledge or intelligence, but about living in a way that is pleasing to God, which you and I would agree. According to Dr. Tripp, wisdom involves understanding God's ways and living in obedience to them. Another important theme in Proverbs that Dr. Tripp highlights is the importance of discipline. He argues that discipline is an essential part of raising children and that it should be done in a way that is consistent, loving, and firm. Dr. Tripp believes that discipline should be used to teach children the difference between right and wrong and to help them to aware of their accountability toward man and toward God. He also emphasizes the importance of communication in parenting, which is another theme that is found throughout Proverbs. He encourages parents to listen to their children, to speak to them with kindness and respect, and to use their words to build up and encourage their children. He believes that by applying the principles found in Proverbs to their parenting, parents can help their children grow to be wise, responsible, and godly adults. Ultimately, all these trainings, he said, must be gospel-centered, aimed at the conversion of the child or transformation of the child's heart, not just changing a child's outward behaviors through behavioral modification. Indeed, Proverbs do offer many principles of wisdom for parenting, but I would just like to offer three today and some suggestions regarding parenting. In your outline, there are 3 points. First, parents should teach and guide them in the way of the Lord. This is perhaps the foundation to all other principles and training. Proverbs 22, verse 6, and I've read them several times already today. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse speaks of the importance of teaching and guiding children in the right direction while they are young and small, so that they will continue to follow that path as they grow older. But how do we do it? Well, let me give you a few suggestions. Firstly, worship together. Going to church as a family helps reinforce the values and beliefs you are teaching at home. Now, Puritans did recognize the importance of worshiping together as a family. Well, for those of you who do not know who I'm talking about, you may be asking me, who are the Puritans? I've never heard of them. The Puritans were a group of English Protestant Christians in the 16th and 17th centuries who sought to purify the Church of England of what they viewed as corrupt practices and beliefs. Many Puritans were persecuted in England for their beliefs and practices, and a significant number of them left for the New World, America, in the 17th century in search of religious freedom. They believed that family worship was a crucial aspect of religious life and that it played a vital role in the spiritual growth and well-being of individuals and families, not just children, of course, for the whole family. Puritans also emphasized the importance of parents taking responsibility for the spiritual upbringing and moral education of their children. It is sad to see that today many parents have relinquished this duty to others. Puritans also believe that family worship provided an opportunity for parents to teach their children about God, to instill biblical values, and to bring up as of a child instruction, formation of manners, which is or was the traditional definition for the word education. The last part was actually exactly quoted from 1828 Webster's Dictionary. You can look that up yourself. And that was the original definition: to bring up as of a child instruction, formation of manners. And the duty is solely or largely placed upon parents. and not schools. Puritans recognized the importance of family worship. They come together to read the Bible, to pray, to sing praises to God, and of course, mainly, if not only, from Psalms. Puritans also believed that family worship was a means of strengthening the family unit and building community. Overall, Puritans placed great importance on worshiping together as a family and believed that it was an essential part of their religious practice. So if you wish to build a strong bond with your family, particularly with your children, you too should make an effort to put worshiping together as a focus in your families, starting with family worship, reading and praying with your children, of course, together with your wife. Secondly, teach your children biblical values. Look for opportunities to talk about God and faith throughout the day, such as during meal times, or before bedtime, family activities, and many of these activities can be done during in the family worship. Talk about values, biblical values, worldviews. So how do you teach your children biblical values? Of course, first of all, read the Bible together and pray together. And one of the most important ways to teach biblical values to children is to read the Bible together. There's no substitute for it. I normally read from the King James, but you may choose a version or translation that is suitable or comfortable for your family. It is totally fine. Having said that, there are some translations that I would suggest that you should stay away or avoid. For example, like the Living Bible, the Good News Translation. No matter what version or translation you use, make reading the Bible a regular part of your routine. Also, praying together as a family is another way to teach biblical values. Encourage your children to pray for others, not just for the family, not just for themselves, for others, for guidance, for thanksgiving. Oftentimes, I ask each of my child to take turn praying for others. We do this at the youth fellowship group as well. And after the meeting, each of us will take turn praying for one particular item, either for the church or for a missionary or for a particular item that's coming up. And second, use everyday situations. Look for opportunity to teach biblical values in everyday situations. For example, if your child is struggling with a friend at school, talk about forgiveness and loving your enemies. If a child is struggling with sharing something or being selfish, talk about generosity, giving, and self-sacrifice. Third, talk about values. Engage your children in conversation about values such as honesty, integrity, kindness, love, and respect. Use examples from the Bible to reinforce these values and show how they are relevant to everyday life. Remember, the Word of God is sufficient, is totally sufficient for you to use in every situation. And there are examples after example, plenty of them can be found in the Bible, to be used for you to teach your children about biblical values. You'll be surprised that there are just so many stories they can use and find the Bible. Fourth, model values. Children learn by example. So it is essential to model the values that you want your children to learn. Show them how to be kind. Well, you yourself needs to be kind first. Show them how to be honest, respectful, and generous in your daily life, and emphasize that they should imitate your examples. Fifth, use resources. There are many resources available to help parents teach biblical values to children. As I said, the Bible is the number one resource that you should use. And other resources available are books that are written by Christian authors, as already said. And you can use some stories of missionaries, biographies of great Christians or theologians from the past, and you can learn a great deal from their stories and their life stories. These resources can be helpful in reinforcing values and making them more accessible to children. In summary, teaching biblical values to children requires intentional effort, consistency, and modeling. When I talk about modeling, I talk about you need to be an example first to your children. Okay. By reading the Bible together, using everyday situations, praying together, talking about values, modeling values, and using resources, parents can help their children develop a strong foundation of faith and moral principles. Thirdly, set a good example. As I said, children learn by example, so you make sure that you live out your faith in a way that is consistent with what you want to teach them. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate role model and teacher for his disciples and followers. He taught them through his words and actions and set a powerful example for them to follow. One of the key lessons that Jesus taught his disciples was the importance of humility for service and service to others. He demonstrated this by washing his disciples' feet, which was considered a task only fit for the slaves or servants at the time. The act of humility and service showed his disciples that true greatness comes from serving others. Remember, teaching and guiding children in the way of the Lord is a lifelong process, and it requires patience, consistency, and a deep commitment to your own faith. Ultimately, the application of this proverb involves investing in the lives of children in a way that equips them to lead successful and fulfilling lives in the Lord. By training children in the way that they should go, parents can help ensure that they are able to make wise decisions and build a solid foundation for their future. That's the first point. Second, discipline with love and consistency. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Discipline is important in raising children, but it should be done in a loving and consistent way. This verse is a call for parents to discipline their children out of love and concern for their well-being. We need to make sure that whenever discipline is necessary, we need to let them understand that the reason why we discipline them is for because we love them. Don't get them the wrong idea. And once they think that you discipline them only because you hate them or because you're mad, then everything goes wrong. The rod here in this verse is often understood as a symbol of discipline, which may include physical punishment, which is a sensitive topic in Australia, but can also refer to other forms of corrective actions or training. Looking at the second half of this verse, It also suggests that neglecting to discipline a child when they misbehave is a form of hatred toward them. As it fails to teach the child how to behave properly, it may lead to further negative consequences in the future. On the other hand, providing discipline and guidance out of love and care can help a child learn right from wrong and develop into a responsible and well-behaved adult. When it comes to disciplining children, may I offer some suggestions. Number one, use appropriate discipline. The Bible emphasizes the importance of using appropriate discipline, which may include physical correction, but should never, never be abusive or excessive. Proverbs 13, verse 24 suggested that discipline is an essential part of loving parenting, but it should be done with absolute care and in a way that is appropriate for the child's age and development. Number two, be consistent. This is extremely important. Consistency is an important aspect of effective discipline. This means setting clear expectations and consequences for behavior and following through with those consequences consistently. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." This suggests that consistent discipline can lead to a more peaceful and harmonious family life. On the other hand, inconsistency on our discipline often leads to confusion and even rebelliousness on the part of our child. Number three, discipline in love. As I mentioned many times, the Bible emphasizes discipline should be done out of love and concern for the child's well-being. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This suggests that discipline can be a form of love and care. As I said, make sure that they know that you discipline them out of love, and that it should be done with the goal of helping the child to grow and develop into a responsible and moral person. So never lose your cool when we discipline our children. But unfortunately, sometimes we parents do, because we're not perfect. So it is not the matter of if, but when we lose our cool, because we all do. But what happens when we do? If we lose our cool when we discipline our children, we as parents must apologize to our children. Otherwise, they will take our discipline the wrong way. Remember, we want to shepherd their heart. Now, taken from Dr. Tedpro's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Through the gospel, not just to modify their behaviors. Number four, teach and instruct. Discipline should also be an opportunity for teaching and instruction. Now, here's a famous verse, a passage we have all read it before, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Many of us have read this passage before. Ultimately, the application of this proverb involves recognizing the, Discipline is an important aspect of parenting that can help children grow and develop into responsible and respectful adults. By disciplining children in a loving and consistent manner, parents can show their children that they are loved and cared for while also guiding them towards positive and healthy behaviors. Number three, encourage honesty and integrity. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Parents should model honesty and integrity and encourage their children to do the same. Proverbs 20, verse 7 highlights the idea that parents can have a significant impact on the lives of their children through their actions and choices. This has important implications for parenting, as it suggests that the way that parents live their lives can influence the moral and spiritual development of their children. To apply the lessons of Proverbs 20, verse 7 to parenting, parents must do their best, therefore, to live righteous and blameless lives themselves, as this will help to set a positive example for their children to follow. Finally, I would like to offer some suggestions for us parents on encouraging honesty and integrity. Firstly, be a role model, and I mentioned that many times, children learn by example. So one of the most important things parents can do is to model honesty and integrity in their own lives. This means being truthful and transparent with your children and living according to your values and principles that you learn from the Bible. As much as we hate to admit, we as parents can and do make mistakes and even sin against God in the way we raised our children. And yet, I don't mean that if you have ever failed to be a good example, you are forever doomed and helpless, or hopeless, rather. No. Rather, whenever we fail to be truthful and transparent, we must confess our sins and seek forgiveness both from God and from our children. And I mentioned that already. Tough, isn't it? But it is absolutely necessary so that our children can follow our example whenever they have sinned against their parents or against God. They will also be humble enough to confess their sins. If we don't, they will do the same. They're just too proud to confess their sins because we too are too proud to confess our sins. Secondly, praise honesty. When your child tells the truth or demonstrates integrity, be sure to praise and encourage them and say things like, good boy, good girl, God is pleased with your honesty. God bless you. This will help them to or encourage your child to conduct or act in a way that is honest and responsible. It will teach them also ultimately that whatever they do, they are accountable to God. If they're honest, they're accountable to God ultimately. Because sometimes you can be dishonest and you think that nobody knows. Right? But if you can be honest at all times and they know that God is watching them, God knows what they're doing. Thirdly, set clear expectations. Children need clear expectations and guidelines in order to understand what is expected of them. So be clear about what behaviors are expected and what the consequences will be for dishonest behavior. Now, do not undermine the sin of dishonesty. But at the same time, show grace, love, mercy, and always ready to forgive if they have sincerely confessed their sins and seek to restore their relationship with you. Number four, talk about the importance of honesty. Have regular conversation with your children about why honesty and integrity are important values to uphold. Use age appropriate examples to illustrate the positive impact that honesty and integrity can have on relationships, success, and personal well-being. You can gather examples from the Bible, of course, but sometimes even from children's story. But make sure you read good children's story, okay? Because some of the stories that has been made and authored today are terrible. By using these biblical strategies, parents can help to encourage honesty and integrity in their children and help them to develop into responsible and trustworthy adults. So what wisdom has the book of Proverbs offer us with regard to families or parenting? First, teach and guide them in the way of the Lord, and this is the foundation to all principles, all other principles. This means parents should teach and guide children in the right direction while they are young so that they will continue to follow the path that God wants them to go, and you need to direct them as they grow older. Second, discipline them with love and consistency. This means discipline is important in raising children, but it should be done in a loving and consistent way. Third, encourage honesty and integrity. This means parents should model honesty and integrity and encourage their children to do the same. Now, before I close, I want to emphasize one thing. This is probably more important than anything that I have said in this passage, or this message, rather. Ultimately, we need to understand that before we can be good or godly parents, we need to be obedient and submissive children of our Heavenly Father. In other words, you need to be a child of God first. That means you yourself must acknowledge and recognize the few things: that you yourself are born a sinner, and that you must be born again. Second, that there is nothing you can do to save yourself from your sin and miseries of this world. Number three, that the only way that you can be saved is by repenting of your sin of unbelief and trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then impart the same gospel truth to your children, because ultimately, it is all about what? Shepherding a child's heart. And I'm quoting from Dr. Ted Tripps. In fact, this is the title of his book. Not simply trying to modify their behaviors from the outside. Not because by human effort, we might be able to recondition our children's behaviors. But we can't change their nature. I've seen parents doing this all the time. They're trying to recondition or modify their children's behavior from the outside without changing their heart's condition. That is, that they don't care whether they're saved or not. They just the only thing they care is about how they behave. But what's going to happen when they die and leave this world? They won't be joining you in heaven if they're not saved. because also by human effort we might be able to make them obey us outwardly, but we can't make them obey us or God inwardly, from the heart. Only God can. Only by the grace of God and by the regeneration of the Spirit of God, the child can and will have a new nature to obey his or her parents, and eventually God, from the heart. So remember, the goal of Christian parenting is the salvation of your children, not our behavioral modification. So my question is, before I end, do you acknowledge that you are a sinner yourself? Do you recognize the need for you to be born again? Jesus said that to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It is not a choice. Have you come to the conviction that there is nothing that you can do to save yourself from your sin, from the temporal miseries of this world, apart from the grace and mercy of God? Have you repented of your sins of unbelief and embraced your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the greatest sin that you can ever commit is the sin of unbelief. Now, if you do not believe that Jesus is who he claims to be, the Son of God who came down from heaven to be your Savior and Mediator, that is God himself, and he's the second person of the Holy Trinity, I'm sorry, my friend, you are still outside of God's kingdom. Because only when you have done so, only when you have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, then you can effectively shepherd your child's heart and make them to be children that God wants them to be. Because that is all it is about. Train them in the way that they should go. Not your way, but God's way. So when they grow old, they will not depart from it in the way of the Lord. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for your word. Father, we confess of our sins unto thee. We pray that you'll forgive us, because oftentimes as parents, we have not done our best. And we pray that you help us to teach and guide our children in the way of the Lord, so that when they grow old, they will continue to follow the path of the Lord. Help us to discipline our children with love and consistency. For discipline is important in raising our children. Also want to pray that you will continue to help us, O Lord, to set good examples for our children, to be honest, to be men and women of integrity, so that they will grow up to be honest and also God-pleasing. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, grant us strength, and continue to even guide our children, O Lord, so that they may continue to follow your way. And above all, we pray for their salvation, O Lord, that they will all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And may you have mercy upon us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In closing, let us sing, "Oh, give us homes." Let us rise as we sing.
Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every taught his love and favor.